So we're looking at Daf Chaf Amid Beis. And you'll see the Braisa, which is about halfway down. And the Braisa tells us, by the way, I have photocopies for you, that there are three mitzvos that we were obligated in. I just want to tell David this is not a repeat. Okay, so don't get nervous. It's on the same sugya.
I trust you.
Yeah. The three mitzvos that we're obligated in when we enter into Eretz Yisrael. Number one is to appoint a king, Lahamid Lamelech. Number two, Lachris Zaro Shalamolek, to destroy Amolek. And finally, Livnos Lahem Beis HaBechir, to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Braisa goes on and says that the sequence is very important. It's not just coincidental. It has to be in that order. And the Braisa tries to prove this. Because Amalek requires a king. To destroy Amalek, you have to have a king. And that's derived from a pasuk in Bishalach, Ki Yad Al Kes Ka. The word Kes is referring to the Kiseat Malchus. And then, when we have a Melech, then Milchamol Hashem Ba'amalek. That's the pasuk. How do we know that the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is only after the destruction of Amalek? And that Gemara derives from a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah, before it gives us the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, it says, V'haniach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv, and I will give you security from all the enemies around you, v'yishavtem betach. And then, after v'yishavtem betach, that you've destroyed your enemies, then v'yam akom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem, then we build the Beis HaMikdash. Is everybody with me so far? It's pretty clear. Three mitzvos when we enter into the land, and there's a specific sequence. In first A, that's Melech, B, Amalek, and then finally C, building Beis HaMikdash. There are a number of problems in this sugya. And if you have the pages that I photocopied for you, again, for those who enjoy to see the text inside, we're looking on page Shin Gimel, and we're in the last paragraph. The Gemara proves that first you have to destroy Amalek, because otherwise it's not going to be Vaniach Lachem Mikol Oyveichem. Right? If Amalek is threatening us, they are our enemies, then we haven't yet reached the stage of Vaniach Lachem Mikol Oyveichem. And therefore, first, before we build the Beis HaMikdash, we have to get what? We have to get rid of Amalek.
And everyone else too.
Oh, excellent. That's going to be the first question. He says the following, Chaim, look inside. Tzarech bir, I don't understand. How could the Gemara prove from this pasuk that we have to destroy Amalek before we build the Beis HaBechira? The pasuk says, Mikol Oyveichem, all your enemies. Now it's true that Amalek is one of them, but the pasuk is not referring specifically to Amalek. So theoretically, you could have a situation in which you destroy Amalek, but we're not ready for Binyan Beis HaMikdash because we still have other enemies around us. That's question number one. So let's just summarize. How could it be that the Gemara bases itself and derives its conclusion that we have to destroy Amalek first and then we build the Beis HaMikdash from the pasuk v'niach lachem mikol eivechem, that pasuk does not specify Amalek. It's talking about all the oivim. In fact, he proves this from Parshas Ki Teitze, because in Parshas Ki Teitze, which is the second time the Torah commands us to destroy Amalek, it says, the same phrase, Mikol Eivecha. Now, what does Mikol Eivecha mean there? Because the Torah says, Timchazech Amalek. It can't be referring to Amalek. It's got to be referring to all the other enemies of the Jewish people. Okay. So that's question number one. Now we turn to the next page, which is really Shin Dalet. The religious pious people, I don't know, they don't like the name Shin Dalet. Okay. So they call it Dalet Shin. I wasn't so, you know. In my day, we called it Shin Dalet. Okay, fine. So he asks a second question. The Od Kasha, you'll see this on line 4. And again, if you like to underline this, you know, that's good. I always encourage you to do so. Have a pen. He says the second question. The mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, according to our sugya, depends upon destruction of Amalek. And as we'll soon see, many, many sources in Chazal indicate that historically, the moment that this mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash emerged was at the time of David HaMelech. And why is that? David destroyed Amalek. The process began before David. With whom?
Shaul.
But after Shaul, the clincher was David HaMelech. We got a problem. David HaMelech did not fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Amalek.
Left the woman.
Exactly. He left the women alive. So we have two questions. Question number one, where does this pasuk indicate that for Binyan Beis HaMikdash we have to destroy Amalek? Question number two, why is David HaMelech the right moment for the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash when David only destroyed the male members of the community and not the female? So I believe last week, if I remember correctly, we had a whole mahalach about this. A brisker mahalach. Okay. But we'll leave it up for today. You know, again, if you followed it last week, I'm very happy, very excited. But today We'll leave it at that. Now we get to question number three. Rashi, here in Masechta Sanhedrin, points out that with regard to all these three mitzvahs, the Torah introduces the mitzvah with the words, V'yashavta ba, you will dwell therein. And Rashi says that what's common to all these three mitzvos, b'knisasam la'aretz, means that we have to undergo and complete a process. It's a twofold process, which is called Yerusha v'yeshiva. Anybody here know how long that process took?
14 years.
Excellent, 14 years. You're hot tonight. And who is the one who led the way for those 14 years?
Yeshua.
So the first 7 years were called the years of Yerusha. Yerusha means to defeat the seven nations that occupied the land. And Yeshiva took 7 years afterwards, once we destroyed the seven nations, to divvy up the land of Israel until every Shevet and every family within every Shevet got its portion of the land. So for example, Rashi says that with regard to the first of these three mitzvahs, which is to appoint a king, it says in the pasuk, "V'yarashta v'yashavta ba," right? Yerusha and Yeshiva. "V'yamarta asim alai melech," and then it says, "Som tasim alecha melech." With regard, for example, to Beis HaBechira, the pasuk says, "V'yavarta nesayardim v'yashavtem ba'aretz," and then "V'hayu makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha." Now, this structure of Yerusha v'Yeshiva and then the mitzvah is obligatory, is chal, is not unfamiliar to us. The Gemara in Gittin and elsewhere establishes that when the Jewish nation entered into the land, they were not yet obligated in what's called the mitzvos hatluyos baaretz. That means trumos or maestros, etc. Those mitzvahs were not incumbent immediately when they crossed the Jordan, but only after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. Rashi seems to be applying a more general rule that applies to all mitzvahs hatluyos baaretz, the agricultural mitzvahs, that we require the two conditions on Yerusha v'Yeshiva. And Rashi applies those two conditions to this triple header, to the mitzvah of Melech, Amalek, and Beis HaBechir. However, Milashono Shel Rashi, you get the impression that these three mitzvahs depend only on Yerusha v'Yeshiva. Rashi doesn't breathe a word about any other conditions. So we need Yerusha 7 years. We need Yeshiva 7 years. And that's exactly what we find in the Sugis HaShas with regard to Mitzvah Satulis Baaretz, which means Trumas and Maestras. They are only obligatory, or shall we say activated, when we finish Kibush and Chiluk, which took place after Yoshua led the people into the land, 7 and 7. That's fine. That's Rashi here in Sanhedrin. But the problem is there's another Rashi. And this Rashi is his commentary on the Torah. And it would be very nice if Rashi was consistent in his commentary on Shas and on the Torah. And in Parashas Re'eh, on the Pasuk V'yishavtem Ba'aretz Asher Hashem Elokeichem Manchil Eschem V'yiniach Lachem Mikol Oyveichem Misaviv V'yishavtem Betach, Rashi writes that V'yishavtem Ba'aretz, number one, shetechalkuhu, you have to divide up the land, that's called yeshiva, so that everyone could dwell within the land. And number two, Rashi says, that's not enough. So again, this is what you call yeshiva, this is the second set of 7 years. But we need something else. And you and I can guess exactly what Rashi is going to tell us, without even looking. V'niach lachem, li'achar kibush v'chiluk, menucha menagayim. It's not enough to go through 7 and 7, Yerusha and Yeshiva. We need another condition that has to be fulfilled. What's that, Rabosai? Minucha menagoyim. Because the Pasuk says, clearly, that only after Hashem allows the people to destroy their enemies and live in betach, meaning in security, only then you build the Beis HaBechira. So Rashi here in Re'eh adds another condition to what he said over here in Sanhedrin, and it's not enough Yerusha v'Yeshiva. What's the other condition? Again, Menucha min Ha'oivim. We're not going.
But doesn't destroy their enemies fulfill that? I mean, you already destroyed them.
Ah, I wish we had destroyed them. The problem is we have a lot more enemies than just the 7 nations that occupied the land. Anyone have another enemy in mind, just as an example?
Babel.
Amalek. Just take Amalek, for example. Amalek is not one of the 7 nations. So you can't tell me that we've already destroyed all our enemies because of the kibush of Yoshua. That doesn't include Amalek. And there are plenty of other nations that you could add to the list. And then Rashi proves this. It's not enough that Rashi sees this in the Pasuk of Binyan Beis HaBechira in Parshas Re'eh. He also quotes Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel, where it says with regard to David HaMelech, Vayehi ki yashav HaMelech bebeiso, David HaMelech is calmly sitting on the throne in Yerushalayim, in the capital. And then the Pasuk says, Vashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. God allowed David and Melchizedek in the wars of King David to destroy all our enemies. And then, Vayomar HaMelech El Nosan HaNavi, David sends a question to the Navi, and he says, Re'ei Anochi Yoshev V'Beis HaRozim, I'm sitting in a very fancy palace. V'Aron Elokim, right, the Ark of the Shtei Luchos HaBris, is Yoshev V'Toch HaYiriyah. Yiriyah means a tent. And now, isn't it fair that we build the Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi quotes that parsha in Shmuel in his commentary in Re'eh to prove that it's clear that the reason why David approached Nasan and said, isn't it time for us to build a Beis HaMikdash, is because, as the pasuk testifies, Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. And this is a proof text for Rashi Shita in his Pirush al HaTorah, that Yerusha v'Yeshiva, the destruction of the seven nations, is not sufficient to generate the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. We need another condition, and that was fulfilled at the time of David HaMelech, when it was Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav. So it's very odd. You know, Rashi, in his commentary on Shas, only invokes the requirement of Yerusha v'Yeshiva, which is just 14 years. We've got a long history that has to succeed in later years until we can finally destroy our enemies. Again, we're not sure why David was obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash, in the sense that he really didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek, as we said before. That was our other question, that he left the, you know, half the nation of Amalek alive. Now, Rashi is very consistent. Meaning, what Rashi says in his Pirush al Torah, he more or less reflects this a second time in his Pirush on Tanakh, in Sefer Shmuel. Again, I have to tell you, I don't know the history here, but I was raised with a certain, I don't know what word to use, skepticism. I know that's an extreme word about Rashi on Tanakh. For some reason, in the world of the yeshivot that I come from, they didn't upgrade Rashi in Tanakh to the same level as Rashi al Torah. I'm not saying anything. I mean, whatever I said, I'm going to deny I ever said it. But I'm just telling you. So what does Rashi say in Shmuel? He says, on the pasuk that David HaMelech declares that it's time for the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav, says Rashi, haray, why is David pushing for the agenda of building the Beis HaMikdash? Niskayim, we fulfilled the requirement, the condition that was formulated by the Torah in Parshas Re'eh, v'iniach lochem mikol oivecham. Umaksiv acharov. What's the very next verse in the Torah in Re'eh after v'iniach lochem mikol oivecham? V'yom akom asher yivchar Hashem. And now you have to designate and build the Beis HaMikdash. Me'ata, says Rashi, now, all of, it's incumbent upon David, live no space of Bechira. Now it's interesting, Rashi consistently, whether it's his commentary on the Torah in Parshas Re'eh or his commentary on Shmuel on Tanakh, mentions that David HaMelech is the right moment, R-I-P-E, the right moment for building the Beis HaMikdash because of the destruction of the enemies. No mention of what? Of Amalek. I mean, that's also problematic. Meaning, what we said before, that the pasuk seems to indicate that the precondition for building the Beis HaMikdash is the safety, or what word, security, or whatever word you want to use, from our enemies in general, not specifying Amalek. Rashi seems to indicate that twice. In his commentary on Re'eh, in his commentary on Shmuel, with regard to David HaMelech, who turns to Nasan and says, the Navi, it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi doesn't breathe a word about Amalek. Very strange. V'nira mizeh. Now, I want you to underline, this is the breakthrough here, which is on the bottom right. I'll give you my pen. And it is four lines up from the bottom, on the right side of page Dalet Shin, if you want to call it that. And that is, the Be'emes, mitzvahs binyan beis habachira. This is the breakthrough. Are you ready for this? Eino toli klal b'kiyum mitzvahs hakrosas zaro shel Amalek. It's not true that mitzvah, we'll call it B meaning Amalek, the second of the three, is the precondition. We have to fulfill mitzvah B before we go ahead and fulfill mitzvah C of building the Beis HaMikdash. That's not true. Again, if you learn out Gemara, that seems to be very true, but it's not true. And this is the revolution. Ki im, but rather, the mitzvah of building Beis HaMikdash depends upon Menucham and Hagoyim. That's clear, both in the Pasuk in Re'eh, and once again, in Sefer Shmuel, when David turns to Nasan and says it's time to build the Beis HaMikdash. No mention of Amalek. No mention of Amalek. Not in Re'eh, which is the main source of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash, nor in Shmuel when David says, hey, it's, you know, high time, we got to build the Mikdash. Ki'im, what generates this mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash? Menucha min hagoyim. Everything depends upon the destruction of our enemies, Asher Sviv Oseichem, which surround the Jewish people. Once we get to the stage of Menuchim and Hagoyim, then even if we have not yet fulfilled, on the top left, the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, nevertheless we're obligated in the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. This will answer a whole bunch of questions. For example, David HaMelech, did he fulfill the mitzvah of killing Amalek? No, he left the women folk. And yet, he understood, and the Gemara quotes that, that it's time for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now we can answer why the Pasuk says Kalei Vecha doesn't specify Amalek. The answer is it doesn't depend upon Amalek. Amalek is one of a whole bunch of enemies, as long as we destroy our enemies. Why does David believe that it's time for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Osai? Well, no, that took place already at the time of Yeshua. But what was the clincher at the time of David? What was the increment? Where do we move forward beyond Yeshua? What did David do? He destroyed our enemies. What about Amalek?
Maybe it's not necessary. He understood that it's you don't have to take a woman.
Excellent. As far as Menucha is concerned, you just have to attack the military force of Amalek and destroy them. He decimated the entire military structure and all the soldiers of Amalek. The women folk, that's a different issue. That's an issue of mitzvahs, zechiras Amalek, and mechias Amalek. I'm sorry, I said zechir.
We discussed last week that chiru.
Correct. So again, is the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash dependent upon the mitzvah of Amalek? The answer is no. David didn't fill the mitzvah of Amalek. He left the women folk. But what did David accomplish? And what was the precondition for activating the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash? Menucha min hagoyim. And David already accomplished that. Second line on the left column. V'nira. The afal gav delo kiyem mitzvah sachros zechra Amalek. Why? Because they didn't destroy the women. Mikol makom, once they killed all the males, and all that was left was the females, niskayim bahem. What does that mean, niskayim bahem?
Fulfilled.
They achieved that goal of viniach lachem mikol evechem misaviv. We already have a situation of yeshavtem betach. And therefore, chal mitzvahs binyan beis habachira. By the way, I just want to ask you something on the side. From everything that we've spoken about until this point, I'm hoping that you can answer this question. And if you can't, it means that I wasn't successful in my pedagogic skills. But I think there's a clear answer. Hu l'maisa is obligated to destroy Amalek and build the Beis HaMikdash. The Melech. Excellent. And this would answer a basic question. I always add this question. When Shaul comes back from Amalek, and Shmuel accosts him and says, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah as God commanded you. So amongst the, how should I say, the incomplete deficiencies of Shaul HaMelech was one real bad guy. Who was that? That he didn't kill?
The king.
The king, Agag. We'll mention his name in the Megillah a few times. We'll get the Gragas out. And who kills Agag?
Shmuel.
Shmuel kills Agag. Why Shmuel? I mean, Shaul HaMelech is obligated in the midst of destroying Amalek. He was given the task.
He
messed up, but give him another chance. You know, he wants to do tshuva. He wants to rectify his ill, his deficiency. Now Shmuel takes it upon himself to kill Agag with his bare hands. But my question goes even further. What does Shmuel declare the moment he kills Agag?
Just like you left widows, then...
Correct. What does that mean, you left widows? In one word, what's that called?
Widows?
Ritzicha. Oh. Murder. You're a murderer. Why did Shmuel have to say, I'm going to kill you, Mr. Agag, because you're a murderer? Forget about murder. You have to kill Agag because of the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. From these two questions, I derive the conclusion that there was, at this point, there was no mitzvah of destroying Amalek. The mitzvah of destroying Amalek would have had to be fulfilled by Shaul because he's the king. Why did Shmuel take it upon himself? And not only that, Shmuel kills Agag because he's a murderer. Why isn't he just kill him because he's an Amaleki? And it seems that at this moment in time, and we have to understand why, there was no mitzvah of destroying Amalek. That mitzvah was given to Shaul, and he didn't fulfill it. Who's going to try to fulfill it, but again messed up for a technical reason? That's going to be Dovid in the next round. Does anybody want to do me a big favor and get me some water? I normally, thanks, Mignon. See if you, I need the hot water. Yeah, because I'm in bad shape tonight. Are we doing okay though? I mean,
excellent.
We're doing okay. All right. Now all this is great until we see the Gemara that we started with. The Gemara says that there are three mitzvos and they're interdependent. And we need first appoint a king, then destroy Amalek, and finally build the Beis HaMikdash. It's clear from the Gemara that until we fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, there's no mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Thank you so much. So we have to do something here to reconcile this whole thesis with the Gemara, because our thesis is that no, the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is not dependent upon the mitzvah of Amalek; it's dependent upon the peace and the security when we destroy our enemies. So, if you take a look in the paragraph Ulefi Hamavur, because I love to highlight the text with you, and you drop down about four lines, let's say, ki im, which is chaf aleph, kavanas ha-gemara, we have to reinterpret the Gemara in the light of this breakthrough, that the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash is only chal after a certain time period. And that time period is later than the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. It doesn't mean, the Gemara never meant to say that first you have to fulfill this mitzvah and of Amalek, and then you're obligated in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. No, that's not necessarily so. David is going to be obligated in building the Beis HaMikdash even before the mitzvah of Amalek was fulfilled. But as a time line, you first have to have the mitzvah of Amalek before you have the mitzvah of Beis HaMikdash. Why? Nobody's following me. Again, whether or not you fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek is irrelevant to the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That was the whole thesis. All we need is Baniach Lecha Hashem Elkecha Mi Kol Evecha Misaviv. Why does the Gemara say, therefore, that there's a sequence and only after Amalek are we obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash? That doesn't make sense. What's the answer?
Different time periods.
Correct. The Gemara never meant to say that you need to fulfill mitzvah B before you are obligated to mitzvah C. Mitzvah C is irrelevant and independent of mitzvah B. But time-wise, you're going to have to first destroy Amalek not as a kiyuma mitzvah, but as, and here you'll have to fill in the blank for me, before you're obligated in Beis HaBechira. Why do you have to destroy Amalek? Not as a mitzvah, but what?
Practical.
Because of what?
Ohim.
Exactly, because of the precondition in the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. L'haniach Hashem Elkecha mikol yivecha misavim. If you haven't begun the process of destroying Amalek, there's nothing to talk about. There's no mitzvah of binyan Beis HaBechira.
So it's not a separate condition. It's within ohim. It's not separate.
Correct. And let's dramatize it. Let's say that the most formidable enemy of the Jewish people is Amalek. You're not going to get to the point of v'yashavtem betach, mikol yivecha, if you haven't destroyed Amalek. But does it mean that you've actually fulfilled the mitzvah of Amalek?
No.
The answer is no. Harayah David HaMelech was obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash, even though he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek. Let's see it inside. The Kavanas HaGemara, the mitzvahs binyan HaMikdash, chal li'achrei hazman, shem mitzvahs Amalek chal. Why? Because first we have to destroy the seven nations that occupy the land. That's called Yoshua and Kibush Haaretz. And then we go on to destroy our other enemies, including the threat of Amalek. So we have to wipe out that threat of Amalek. The mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash will be activated and become obligatory the very moment Hiniach Hashem Elokecha mikol yivecha misaviv. David HaMelech, in all his wars, had completed the task that was started by Yoshua, meaning he destroyed all our enemies. Yoshua destroyed the seven nations, but he didn't destroy the other enemies. And David destroyed the male members of Amalek, decimating their army, and therefore it was already mikol yivecha hiniach Hashem Elokecha mikol yivecha misaviv. Okay. So that's where we're up to now. Now he quotes two other Rishonim. One is the Ashkenazim and the Balei HaTosfos. That's called the Sefer Yireim. Mm-hmm. And then he quotes the Rambam on the Sephardic side. So we got everybody together here. The Yireim says that the Gemara didn't mean that there's got to be a say there. That first we have to appoint a king before we get to the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and before we build the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam also says, let us say there. The Rambam says there's no specific sequence. For example, that appointing a king has to come before the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But rather, the Rambam says there's a din that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek and Binyan Abayis is incumbent upon the king. So the king, first of all, will have to be appointed. That's obvious. Secondly, he has to destroy Amalek because otherwise the Oivim are threatening us on our very borders. And then once we have the security and the safety from our Oivim, then the Melech is obligated to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Yireim and the Rambam both fit very beautifully into the framework that we have presented here. That the din of Seder here, the sequence, is not because one mitzvah has to be fulfilled before you get to the next mitzvah, but simply that all the conditions necessary for the emergence of the Chiyuv all are in a certain sequence. Historically, we can't have a mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash unless we have a Melech. Because who's obligated to build the Beis HaMikdash? The Melech. We can't have the mitzvah of Melech, we can't have the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash before we destroy Amalek, because the precondition in the mitzvah of Mikdash is Mikol Yivecha Misavir. We have to have Menucha. Okay. Now we want to fast forward to the Smag. This is on the bottom left of page Shindal, the same page that we're on.
Why do they bother talking about Amalek Bichlal? Why don't they just talk about Menucha, I mean, Agoyim, or destroying your enemy.
The impression I get, Alan, is that the clincher, in other words, there was a whole sequence of wars, and it was impossible to attack Amalek until they had victoriously defeated the other enemies. But you're right, there's no need to specify Amalek. Again, the Gemara wants to mention Amalek because this is a mitzvah incumbent upon a king. So the Gemara wants to point out that until we appoint a king, there's no mitzvah of Amalek. So Rabbi Osei, let me ask you the following question. I'll just take a little parenthetical insert here before we get to the Sman. In Sefer Shoftim, the Navi seems to castigate the Jewish people for not building the Beis HaMikdash. Anybody have a problem with that?
No, it's not king.
There was no king. If our premise is that there's no mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash without a king, then why at the time of the Shoftim is there a taina, how do you say it, a rebuke? Is that what we said? Against the people of Israel for not building the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pesukim indicate, how could you not set up a permanent dwelling place for the Shekhinah and build a home for the Shekhinah and so forth and so on.
Even more, the Navi was against them setting up a king in the beginning, at first.
Correct. So if there's no king, what's going on over here? Why are we guilty? Why are we culpable and castigated because we didn't appoint a king? I'm sorry, because we didn't build the Beis HaMikdash when there was no king. Very strange. Perhaps we could say the following. You know that in the world of halacha, we always differentiate between two concepts. One is called a chiyuv, and the other is called a kiyuv. It could be that there's a kiyuv mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash even without a chiyuv. The chiyuv will only set in when the king is appointed. But the king is meant to represent the people of Israel, and his efforts to build the Beis HaMikdash are representative, are on behalf of the entire community. Let's say the community of Israel would for some reason be motivated with a certain sense of, I call it, urgency to build the Beis HaMikdash. There's no melech. Certainly there's no chiyuv. But there's a kiyum of it. Now, I think I've asked you this question in the past. Would you castigate someone who doesn't wear tzitzis? So first I want you to give me your intuitive answer, you know, your knee-jerk response, and then we'll look at it a second time. What would be your knee-jerk response?
Yeah, because there's a chiyuv to wear tzitzis.
No, there is no chiyuv to wear tzitzis.
Only if you happen to have
to if you're wearing a beged of dalit kanfis, you have to put tzitzis on the beged. But I'm not wearing a beged of dalit kanfis. You see the beged of dalit kanfis here? It's round. There are other reasons why I don't have tzitzis on my jacket. And yet the Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis goes on a whole tirade against those who don't wear tzitzis. What do you see? That there's a halachic concept. I'm just giving you one example. There are probably thousands of examples of a kiyum mitzvah without a kiyum mitzvah. In other words, what the halacha sees is the ultimate goal. What's the end? What's the end zone?
To mekayim.
The kiyum mitzvah. What is urgent about the kiyum mitzvah? You may tell me, well, technically, I'm not obligated in the mitzvah. So what taina, what tefillah can you come to me and say, well, why didn't I fulfill the mitzvah? I wasn't even obligated. Imagine, I always give the example of what's called richuk makom. There's a mission in Pesachim that says if you're X number of kilometers outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're not chayav in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So the man is on the borderline, on the other side, and he's parted from Korban Pesach technically.
Make the effort. Go.
Yeah, take a step further. You know, cross the international dateline. You know, all you have to do is take one step, and you'll be chayim in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. What's the urgency of building the Beis HaMikdash? We don't have a melech. We're talking the tkufa of the Shoftim. Why should the Jewish people be called upon to fulfill a mitzvah, which is a kiyum mitzvah, it's meaningful, when they're not obligated? There's a certain urgency.
There's a benefit from having a Beis HaMikdash.
The Shechinah of Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash.
Correct. And not only that, but the Navi says, how could you allow, how can you tolerate a situation? You're sitting in security and you're, you know, you're living on the land, we divide up the land after Yeshua, and now we have the Shoftim, and where is the Aron Bris Hashem? It's in some sort of dilapidated temporary place, and it's like a tent. It's like my flat here in on Rebbe Meir. I mean, you know, until my wife finally does a shiputz. Anyway. Now, what's the smog? The smog says the following. Okay, we don't have to repeat the first part of the smog because that's really what we've seen over and over again in all the Rishonim. And that is, we have three mitzvahs when we enter into the land. We have to appoint a king. We have to destroy a molech. And then when we're free from our enemies, then we have to build a Beis HaBachi.
Another...
Oh, you didn't get page?
Here
we go. Shin Hei? I think I photocopied. And the Smog quotes the Pasuk on the top of Shin Hei. V'yavartem es ha-yardein v'yishavtem ba'oretz. And then the Torah says, "V'ayam akom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem l'shaken shmo sham," and you should build the Beis HaMikdash. Then he writes, "Ukfar maninu lemala hamadas melech v'achrasas amolek." Fine. So we've already counted in our enumeration of the mitzvahs. Number one, the mitzvah of appointing a king. Number two, destroying amolek. And now we're ready for the third mitzvah, and that's the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Zman mitzvah zu shel binyan Beis HaBechira lo higia ad yimei David. V'cheinu omer, and the pasuk says b'David, v'hiki yashav ha-melech b'beiso, and Hashem gave security and they destroyed the enemies. Now they have to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it's interesting that the Smog goes out of his way to point out that the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash has a definite time frame. And it was only after David, when David had destroyed the enemies, then the mitzvah of Binyan HaBayis was chal. And it would seem that Binyan Beis HaMikdash, from the language of the Smog, would only apply after you fulfill the mitzvah of destroying a molech, right? Let's go back to the Smog. The Smog says gimel mitzvos, and I've already told you that you have to destroy a molech, and then after you fulfill that mitzvah of a molech, then you have the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. So the Smog is taking a whole nother approach. It would seem from his language, the way he formulates it, that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash depends upon the kiyum mitzvah of destroying Amalek. So according to the Smog, we have the following sequence. Number one, we have to destroy the seven nations. That's called kibush. Number two, we have to appoint a melech. Number three, we have to destroy Amalek. And finally, after we fulfill all those mitzvahs, now we're ready for the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But at what point does that mitzvah emerge? After you destroy all the enemies around. So again, we're pointing out here that not everyone accepts our approach to the Gemara and Sanhedrin, but there is a shita in the Smog that first we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Amalek, and then the question is, how did David fulfill this mitzvah if he left the women alone? Okay, at this point, we want to study the Ramban in Parashas Beshalach. On the Pasuk Sim bi Ozne Yoshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu commands Yoshua in the mitzvah of fighting against Amalek. This is the first time in Jewish history where we fight the battle against Amalek under the military leadership of Yoshua. And the Ramban says that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yoshua was that first destroy Amalek. Just one second, let me read it again. Lirmos sheyimchu oso achrei sheyarshu asaretz. According to the Ramban, the sequence is that first Yoshua is going to inherit the land, which means he's going to destroy the seven nations, and then afterwards he's going to destroy Amalek. Either he or someone in subsequent Jewish history. V'zeu shenemar, and says the Ramban, this is what the pasuk means. V'hoya baniach Hashem elokech lecha mikol oyvecha misaviv timcha zecher Amalek. In other words, that after you destroy the seven nations, then you go ahead and you destroy Amalek. If this would have been fulfilled at the time of Yoshua, says Ramban, then Yoshua would have been obligated in the mitzvah to, number one, destroy the seven nations, which Yoshua actually did, and then following that mitzvah, to destroy Amalek. Aval b'yomav, says the Ramban, adayin ha'aretz nishara harbi mi'od l'rishta. In other words, Yoshua, and you have to know Tanakh for this, did not actually succeed in destroying all the seven nations. There were still pockets or vestiges of those occupiers of the land. Therefore, says Ramban, lo higia zman mechias Amalek. It took a period of time from Yoshua until Shaul HaMelech for the Jewish people to destroy and finish the job that was begun by Yoshua, the seven nations. So at the time of Shaul HaMelech, he was ready for the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Hare, this is already the Gvuras Yitzchak, Mevur Baramban, what do we see from the Ramban? Shemitzvahs Mechias Amalek, Eino Toli Bekibush Vechiluk, Greidug, meaning alone. It's not enough that you fulfill Kibush Vechiluk. Dahainu Yerusha v'Yeshiva k'mo b'mitzvah tlius b'aretz ki'im shetolui im nochalim eretz Yisrael. Do we have absolute control, I guess you call it sovereignty, over the land of Israel? V'keivan shenishar ha'aretz l'rishta b'mei Yoshua, there was still a challenge or a battle to be won in order for the Jewish people to really have sovereign rulership over the entire land, then lo higias mano, we're not ready for the mitzvah of Amalek until Shaul HaMelech. And it seems that the Ramban understood that when it says in the parasha Mechias Amalek, this is in Beshalach, v'hoya baniacha Hashem elokech lecha mikol oyvecha, it means we have to have total control over the land. There are no longer pockets of resistance. So what's difficult now? Vehine, he says, Lidvarov, according to the Ramban, Tikshi, let's ask the following question. Me'efa ochiach ha-gemara de mitzvahs binyin beis ha-bechira li'achar mitzvahs ha-chros ha-zar shal ha-molek kishishneim tluyim be'aniach ha-shem l'cha mikol ha-vecha. The Gemara says that there's no mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash until after we destroy Amalek. How does Gemara know that? Because it says, Be'niach Hashem l'cha mikol oyvecha. Well, that pasuk is setting up a precondition, according to the Ramban, for the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. Everybody see that? The Chiddush of the Ramban, here's where the Ramban adds a new element into the equation is that when it says V'haya b'iniach Hashem elkecha mikol ayvecha misaviv, the Torah is addressing the mitzvah of timches es Amalek, of destroying Amalek. We have to first destroy all the enemies. We have to control the land. There's no resistance. And then we're obligated to the mitzvah of Amalek. How can the Gemara use the very same pasuk to prove that the mitzvah of Binyan HaBayis depends upon V'haya B'niach Hashem Elkech L'cha? That pasuk is referring not to the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but rather to the mitzvah of Amalek. Now the final bracha in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, in Magid, starts with the word Leficha. And we go through praising Hashem for all the different great miracles. And it says, Hotzianu mi'avdus l'cheres, mi'shibud l'geula. What does that mean? During the time of the Shoftim, there was Shibud. Geula takes place only at the time of David and Shlomo. Why? Because only at that point had we gotten to the level of destroying all our enemies. So that's the period of Geula. And this is the insight of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that the real Geula was not fulfilled by Yoshua or even in the period of time of the Shoftim, but rather much later on, when David and Shlomo destroyed the enemies, and they were Yoshua and Betach. That's called Geula. Now, keep in mind that according to the Ramban, in his Pirush on Bishalat that we saw in the previous paragraph, at what point in time did we fulfill V'haya b'niach Hashem elkech l'cha, which is the precondition for the mitzvah of what, according to the Ramban?
Amalek.
At the point of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech finished up the job that was begun by Yoshua, and all that was left was to destroy Amalek. So it means, Hechrisu Shiva Amamin, they finally decimated the seven nations, and then they took over the land, then Shaul becomes obligated in the mitzvah of Amalek. So that's really, based on the Ramban, that's really the what word do I want to use? That's the boundary line. I don't know what word you want to use for the mitzvah of Amalek. Meaning, we're almost ready to complete the Geula. The Geula, shall we say, is very close. Why? Because we destroyed all our enemies, except for one. Who's left? Amalek. Now that we destroyed all our enemies, we're obligated to destroy Amalek. Shaul goes out to destroy Amalek, and at that period of time, we achieve the Geula. The Geula means Yoshvim Betach. But we saw Rashi in two places, in his commentary in Parshas Re'eh, and in Sefer Shmuel, that this period of time described as v'niach kol evechem did not reach its fruition until David HaMelech. So it's a little bit interesting because the Vilna Gaon is in his commentary on the Haggadah seems to indicate that we already achieved the state of Geula at the time that we destroyed Amalek, but if you're very careful about it, you'll see that although Shaul did whatever he did with regard to Amalek, but he left the mitzvah unfulfilled. For example, the Gemara says that he didn't kill the children. Now it's incumbent upon David HaMelech to complete that task. So we have all these periods of Jewish history. We start with Yoshua. Yoshua did not succeed in destroying all the enemies. We haven't yet established total sovereignty, absolute control over the land of Israel. That's going to happen over the course of time. It's going to reach its fruition at the moment that Shaul destroys all our enemies, and now Shaul is obligated to destroy Amalek. That's the Ramban's thesis. Does Shaul actually succeed in destroying Amalek? The answer is no. Who's going to complete that job? David HaMelech. So the ultimate geula is going to be when we finally achieve that last goal of destroying Amalek. That's going to take place under the leadership of whom? David HaMelech. And therefore we understand Rashi in two places, who writes that V'niach Hashem el kecha mikalei vecha misaviv was only fulfilled at the time of David HaMelech, because David HaMelech completed the task of destroying Amalek. Now if that be the case, in the paragraph Lefi Zeh, we can begin to understand our sugya in Sanhedrin. The Gemara proves that the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is only applicable after we fulfill the mitzvah of destroying Amalek. And you might ask the question, well, the Ramban writes that the mitzvah of destroying Amalek itself is not applicable until we destroy our enemies. So how do you prove from that same pasuk of the Hoya Hiniach Hashem Lechem Mikolei Veichem that the mitzvah of Binyan Abayis is only going to be fulfilled after we destroy Amalek? That pasuk is addressing the mitzvah of Amalek. The answer is, everything fits in beautifully. The mitzvah of destroying Amalek is only applicable at the time of Shaul, when we completely destroyed all the other enemies. The mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is only going to be chal when we reach the level of the complete destruction, which was not achieved by Shaul, who had achieved the total destruction of Amalek as a formidable enemy. That's going to be David HaMelech. So there's no steer over here, because this pasuk is referring to both Amalek and Binyan Beis HaMikdash in two stages. Stage number one is that we destroyed all our enemies except Amalek, and now Hiniach L'Hashem Mikolei Veichem. Now we're ready, according to the Ramban, for the mitzvah of Amalek. And the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is going to be chal after we destroy Amalek, because that's going to be V'Yishavtem Betach. That's going to be at the time of Dovin Amalek. Okay, Rabbi Osa, I think I'm going to stop here. My voice is a little bit on the weak side. I tried to...
It was very short, but let's follow how the smug is in relation to the Ramban.
So the next paragraph is the smog.
Oh my!
Do you see it in the text? So I would like to, you know, I can't tell you for sure. I would like to finish this, but you know, I always am eager to start a new topic. So we'll try to.
By the way, was it David who was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash?
Right. Why? That was another reason. Really, David should have been building the Beis HaMikdash. Why did he leave it for Shlomo? The Navi says that for some reason your hands are full of blood.
But it's a bit unfair, because Dafke, in order to build the baby Dash, you had to kill off the enemies. And because he killed off the enemies, he wasn't allowed to build the
Correct. Correct. So that has like more metaphysical implications, meaning we have to understand...
Poor guy, I mean, you know, he did what he's supposed to do.
Right. But you should know that David Amel fulfilled another mitzvah, which is very similar, and that's called Beis HaBechira. Oh. There are two mitzvahs. The Rambam has two mitzvahs. He has one mitzvah in Hilchus Beis HaBechira to build a Beis HaMikdash, and in Hilchus Malachim he has a mitzvah of Beis HaBechira. So I heard once from my Rebbe that the mitzvah of Beis HaBechira was fulfilled by David Amel. Why? Because David HaMelech asked the Navi, which is the Makom HaMikdash? It was what's called Garan HaYavusi. Yavusi is one of the seven nations. And David went ahead and he purchased the land. He collected money from every one of the Shvatim. And then he bought the land and designated for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That itself is a fulfillment of one dimension of building the Beis HaMikdash. Which one? Not the actual physical structure that was left for Shlomo, but the Beis HaMikdash. Means deciding and designating that tract of land for the Beis HaMikdash. That was fulfilled actually by David. So that David and Shlomo, in a sense, integrate to form one whole. A process that begins with David and culminates with Shlomo. So when you talk about the Kedushas Mechitzos, which means the sanctity of the walls that surround the Makom, that's Shlomo now. But if you talk about the sanctity of the place as a base of Mechira, that was already achieved at the time in David. And the Nafkamina will be Bamos. You remember I discussed with you Bamos, that you're only allowed to build a Bama before the base of Mechira. Once the base of Mechira was established, there's no Heter Bamos. So already at the time of David, before the building of the walls, there would be an Iser of Bama. Because this is a Makom HaShayiv. And the Rambam, this is a whole discussion unto itself, in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says that over and over again the Torah says HaMakom HaShayiv Char. It doesn't tell us where this Makom is. It was a secret. And the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says that this was a deliberate decision of God that we would, that He would never explicitly reveal where that Makom is. Why? So the Rambam gives many answers, but one of them he says is because had the Torah revealed exactly where the Makom is, then all the nations of the world would gather up and they would all want to conquer that land. So it became a secret. And only the Jewish people, as it was passed on in tradition, over the course of centuries and millennia, knew where the Makom was. And David HaMelech conferred with the Navi, I think it was God, and they decided where the place was. Okay?
That reminds you of what Rabbanim of Yeshiva of the Gush Rav Bazak writes exactly that on why, when he analyzes Parashat, why never it says Hamakom, why never Kadosh Baruch Hu prompts Avraham in the Torah itself, it's never actually specified. It only stays Hamakom throughout the Parashat.
It's always like mysterious.
Yeah, it never says in the end where it is.
Right. All right, gentlemen, thanks a lot.